Welcome to Rocky Mountain Media's Dating, Then There's That, Episode 3. I am your co-host, Dina Gilmore, and I'm here with all these lovelies. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
And we decided to do another one since this was so highly listened to. It was the best listened to podcast that we have posted on our site. So well done,
Yay.
Ladies. Well done. So tonight's topic is really about dating and transitions. So who would like to go first? Because we represent two decades here. We've got in our 40s, we've got in our 50s, and we've got everything from not dating at all, single, okay to date, to newly relationship, to beautiful long-term relationships. So who wants to take this off first? As we all look at Jean.
Okay, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Jean, and I am 51 years old, and I am currently dating men. I have always dated men. I have always married men, and
and divorced
now. And anything else that you
tell us about who you're dating?
Oh, you mean you want me
your
to go?
Dating status.
Sure, your status.
My dating status. So I have been dating one man for about 5 weeks, and I just was given some advice to keep dating other people, and so I am going to be meeting someone next week who's new, and I recently kind of had some kind of pseudo date that I didn't know was happening.
I love how those happen.
I am playing a field.
Jean's adventures in dating. I love it. That's fabulous.
I'm Cecilia. I'm 47, single, and loving it. I think I'll stay that way for a while. Generally, just date men.
I am Renee. I am 46. I don't know how I would describe my orientation. Fluid. I have a fluid orientation.
There you go.
And I am currently in a long distance relationship with a man. Great guy.
Yes, he is.
For a little over a year. Mm-hmm. Very good.
My name is Jeannie. I am 49 and I am woefully straight.
Gender curious, I am woefully
straight.
I've been offered, and it was just like, no, just this way. So I date mostly men, married men, divorced men. I am currently in a long-term relationship, not married, but we bought a house together, and we've been living together in our home for almost 2 years now, and we've been together for about 3.5.
Awesome.
So that's what we're doing.
Awesome. I am Tanya. I am 40 years old, identify as straight, and in a long-term relationship for the past 4.5 years now. So that's me.
There you go.
And you met your guy on Bumble, right?
No, we met through mutual friends. It was just all organic. Yeah. Just started off as a really good friendship.
The limo.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Yep, your mutual friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I forgot we have somebody who's not here. Carly, isn't it? Who has a guy from Bumble.
Yeah, she has a Bumble man.
Yeah. I knew somebody did.
That might be why she's not here.
Get it, girl. Get it. Because I'm Dina, and I guess I'm the only lesbian in the group, which is awesome. I don't mind. I'm single, but I'm actually open to dating. So that's been the first for me in probably 2.5 years. So. I'm ready. It's all right. If it has to happen organically. No more internet BS. Been there, done that. Not had success with it. Not liked it. Did not get a t-shirt. So, so yeah, but totally open to it. If the right woman were to come along, right woman for me, meaning I need someone who's at least spiritually conscious, higher consciousness. So I don't have many standards, really. I'm not that picky. That's not a bad thing.
We're going to work on that for you.
Yeah. I'm raising the bar, let me say.
Raise the bar.
Compared to my past.
But I hear the gates are open.
Yes, I'm open to it, totally.
Let the games begin.
Right.
Let the games begin.
That's how it happens. Once you're open for it.
First you have to be open.
You start to meet.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I haven't been because my last relationship was very emotionally taxing, so. Yeah.
He needs recovery time.
Uh-huh. I did.
Oh, very yeah. good. I think you do. I mean, I don't want to go away from our topic too much, and maybe this
That's
fits
part
in
of
it, right? It fits in it that when we go into recovery, I know I did for the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
I went into kind of that recovery state of dating would not be fun if I tried to date right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then if
but,
I had
yeah.
tried to date during that time, it would have been disastrous. I mean, yeah. So for everyone, for
everyone
involved. Exactly.
But I
so.
Think there's also a different sense of you have to grieve a relationship.
You do.
Yes.
Whether you wanted to end it or like it ended on its own, that's still a part of you that you invested time and love and energy
yes.
and effort. And even though it's ending, I think that there is an appropriate time
mm-hmm.
to just kind of cocoon yourself and go back and gather yourself
mm-hmm.
back, really. Like, right? Like we talk about this a lot where we leave pieces of ourselves
we
to
do.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just calling back all of that energy that's been expended out, I think. It really is honoring, I think, for yourself and also for other people.
Yes.
When we don't come into it fractured and expecting you to fulfill whatever or fix whatever is fractured.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I'm coming. I've taken care of myself. I'm whole and complete over here. And then I could really participate in it fully once again. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it's like, I think it's like we're joshing with you with regards to like kidding about it, but I think there really is some spiritual work to be done and to
oh,
really
yeah.
mend
yeah.
ourselves and mend our hearts
mm-hmm.
and shore up the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes courage. It takes courage to be willing
mm-hmm.
after, you know, we're in our fourth or fifth decade
mm-hmm.
To be willing. We've known what it's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know anymore.
To be in the field. And I think it's wonderful
yeah.
that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, like I am a beginner again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we get to 50, the dating pool thinks, well, you should know what you're doing or you have your shit together. Oh, am I allowed to say
that?
Allowed
to yeah. curse? Okay.
It's all right.
This happens when you're 50.
I know, right? You just do anything you please.
And I think it gets even more because becomes more even of a checklist. So if you really aren't in self-awareness, it can be even a little bit more traumatic or harmful or difficult if you really don't have a sense of yourself and you
yes.
aren't whole rather than fragmented
mm-hmm.
going back into the dating pool because it is, you could drown out there, people.
Times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you need your floaties out there.
That was fabulous.
I also think that taking time through, you know, once you end a relationship, it's good reflection time too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
It's a good time to take a step back and say, hey, what things went well? What did I learn?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I get better in the process?
Yeah.
How
so,
would I be or how what would I change kind
right.
of thing? Yeah.
And then when
mm-hmm.
next chapter comes,
uh-huh.
it's like, you know, which things you're going to tolerate, which things you love
yes.
about yourself.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
what did I ignore?
Right.
Like in some of my relationships, there were so many red flags that I was so willing to like, no, that's okay. That's going to change or
yeah.
that's going to get better.
I did that
and
in the last
I do
two.
Think, like when we go back into it, it's like, wow, all of the signs were there and I ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I do to not do that?
Mm-hmm.
I love that it's reflection time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like,
wine down. But okay.
Don't worry. No wine
there
was wasted.
No wine in there. Yeah.
Oh
thank
my
goodness.
Goodness. No
like,
wine was harmed in those filming of this.
And almost like the retreat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we take stock back again and like, what was not acceptable that I continue to accept and tolerate, and then and for me, for every relationship, I've now taken stock into well, what do I want more of?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
what
mm-hmm.
am I not going to be willing to tolerate?
Negotiables
yeah.
and non-negotiables.
Yeah.
I do. I totally
yeah.
have a list. Of,
yeah.
This are my
Everyone
minimum,
should.
Like minimum requirements.
Yeah.
I have minimum requirements.
Yeah.
And then what are
I don't have those anymore.
You don't?
That's interesting.
It's a minimum requirement.
But you have standards.
I have standards.
I have minimum
so
requirement that people should have work.
Yeah. That's me because my
yeah.
last, not my very last
yeah,
relationship, but the
yeah.
woman I was with, gotten with a raging alcoholic because I didn't set a standard.
Yes.
That was my non-negotiable.
Right.
Like alcoholism
right.
is a non-negotiable.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
got it.
It's just if you're recovering years and years and years with success, awesome. I would not judge you
but
for that.
Active.
But
yeah.
when you lie and say you're in recovery and you're still hiding and you're still a raging alcoholic causing pain and trauma on people, not okay. Not
yeah.
acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we take stock of with those when it's done. Right?
Yeah.
Because when you're in it, you almost like, you don't see it, I don't think.
Right.
You
don't.
It, you know?
Or you'll be like, well, maybe this was the only time. Like
right.
the first time she hit me, I was so ashamed and so embarrassed to even admit to my best friend. Second time it happened, I told one person, still ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, here I am a mid-age woman and letting another woman beat me.
Mm-hmm.
But the third was the final time and I was done.
And I think, too, we all have a number in our
yes,
lives, right?
We have a
because in my long, long world ago, I was in an abusive relationship.
Ah.
And that third time with me, when he hit me, I'm like, this is the drawer.
This is
and I mentally left and emotionally left. I just had to physically leave at that point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And third time, that was it. But that's my number three.
Yes.
Well, yay for both of us getting through that and being even better for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I used to say it was like a huge mistake, and I think it was just the worst decision of my life.
Because
mm-hmm. I try not to believe in mistakes, especially like you meet those people on purpose. You know, like I told you about the way you met the
all
man
the
you're dating right now was so serendipitous
mm-hmm.
and organic,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is the best way.
Yeah.
You know, Renee and her boyfriend, I mean, it was so organic the way you guys, all of a sudden you work together all these years and you're like, oh.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
I mean, I was
Hi.
Aware of what he looked like the entire time. A couple of you have met him. Sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh,
we are from the South. It's okay.
Go to church. So I was aware, but, you know, he was married.
He
I was
married.
In a long-time relationship. We worked together. I had a
he
lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just as he's a good, solid human being. So I just had respect for him. So I was not going to, like, I don't know, make him into a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night anyways, things are different in both of our personal lives. And he comes up to me on a dance floor in a work trip, because we do that in corporate America. And I'm like, oh, what? Just that shock waves through my body.
Mm-hmm.
8-10 years of knowing somebody.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's just different.
The lights got turned on.
Some other things got turned on.
That's a perfect thing to transition.
So yeah, so we transitioned from colleagues
mm-hmm.
and friends to, you know, more.
Mm. More.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Much more.
Much. Anyway. Okay.
So Cecilia, what's your transition that you're in? We haven't heard from you yet.
Oh, so I tried the online dating app thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last relationship wasn't great. Online dating thing. Oh my God. Like,
it's scary.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. You know, when half of the connections that try to reach out to you are scams.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
so
then
true.
The
that's
other
what happened
half
to me.
Are like half naked men who are just trying to get in bed.
Mm.
You know, and that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I think I'll put this thing to bed. And so that was it for me.
So you transitioned from dating to not dating.
Yeah.
Your transition.
And honestly, I'd be okay, but he better be damn good, because
mm-hmm.
there is,
mm-hmm.
I'm just not doing that anymore.
Yep.
So
what are some
yeah.
of the standards that you have though for this?
Oh my God.
Damn good.
You
man.
Want the huge. Definitely, like, emotionally stable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It's a big one.
I have a big one about financially responsible.
Yeah,
you
should.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
And even more so than myself. Like, because I'd like to learn some things about being financially responsible. I think I'm fairly financially responsible, but I think I could take it up a level. It'd be really nice to have
mm-hmm.
a partner who's maybe just ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the, you know, those are the things that I look at. And he's gotta be hot. Anyway.
I was worried for a second.
I'm like,
oh,
wait a minute. Where's
like,
the attraction part?
Yeah.
Or the
and he can't be like
he, you know. If my attraction to him is like no, and that's not it. I gotta be like okay,
initial attraction.
Baby, let's go to bed. You know, like,
that has gotta be it for me. So because I've had both. I've been in a relationship with a guy that was really hot, and, you know, but it really bad emotionally. And then I've been in a relationship really good emotionally and really bad in bed. Like,
That's a whole new game. All of it's the togetherness.
The package. In and out.
It's going to merge.
You can usually tell in the kiss. If it's usually a bad kiss, they're usually bad in bed.
Yeah.
If it's a good kiss, you can usually have some good expectations.
Yeah. And it wouldn't, you know, I should take that back. He wasn't bad in bed. It just had never, it didn't happen often enough for me.
Yeah. And I've been there.
Then there's that.
Well, and if you don't find them attractive, then you're not wanting to go to bed
that often. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like,
I have to say, I mean, I don't, again, I don't want to go, like, I have to say that now that I'm this age that I am more, I have more fire in me now than I ever did in any age.
Fire
so this,
enough.
whatever shade I'm in, it is
I think it's
what, amazing,
I
and
think
it's
what
different.
Saying
and
in
I'm
the sexual fire.
So much more expressed. I am so expressed.
But I think it's what Renee was saying earlier. It's like about you not giving any more fucks. Like,
right.
I think
we've
come to really, we come to a certain age in our journey where I could be super relaxed in my body, and it could just like. And then I think when we're relaxed and accepting of ourselves, and it's like all of this sensuality is available. Like,
oh,
how can you
so
be
much
sensual
oh
when you're
like,
oh, like, you can't see that, and you can't look at this, or I gotta cover this. None of that, right?
There's no conditions set.
And I think the giving of the not giving of the fox gives you so
not
much freedom.
Of the
I,
fox is so
fantastic.
Much freedom.
Yes.
It's so much freedom. I won't go into detail, but.
You should maybe. Put
her in the hot seat.
But dating the man that I've been dating, I have experienced myself newly as like walking around naked, like walking and like freely being in a space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anyone else, but for me, that hasn't happened for years.
Mm-hmm. To be that comfortable in your body,
for me,
or just wanting to be seen,
with
or
my sexuality, with
not
my
caring
whole
whether,
sexuality, with myself, and it's almost like an artistic expression right now.
Wow.
That's great.
That's
so beautiful,
and that's what
so liberating.
That's what I'm seeing as, you know, this particular man is great for creating the space for that, and I'm still like looking or. Giving myself the opportunity to take everybody's advice and like, don't get attached. So stay a little transitional.
Right.
Stay transitional. Don't get attached. Okay, great. And right now it truly is an artistic expression. That's what
so
I just realized.
Because I've learned that in dating too,
that.
As far as like when you have attachment, you have expectations tied to that. And if you already go into dating with expectations, you set your both of you up for failure of it even being worthwhile of either of your time. That was a huge lesson for me. Thank God I finally got it. But, you know, that's what kept me from dating is I have not met another woman that's nearly on the level that I would like to see to even consider. It gets old after that question. You get asked, why are you still single? Show me a woman that I would be attracted to in all the ways, you know, not just,
so
oh, you're financially stable. Oh, you know nothing about your spirituality. Oh, I'm not going to be your teacher. I'm not going to be your guide. I'm not going to be your healer. You know, she has to come with her own package.
Great. Wow, got quiet.
That was deep. I got to take a minute.
Like, whoop. We're submerging. We're diving. Dive.
Well,
I mean,
Renee's known me
good.
For 15 years. She's my best friend, so she has seen me never say that. Ever.
No, Dina was a rescuer, 100%. Yeah. Like, if there was a stray woman around, Dina was going to bring her home. She could be scraggly and raggedy. She could be pretty and poofy. It didn't matter. If she was stray, she was coming home.
And if she had something going on or, you know, something, I felt like I could heal or fix.
We like to call that, in my country, Captain Save-A-Ho.
Oh!
Bahamas.
We should go do a podcast in the Bahamas.
That would be awesome.
In our bikinis.
With a cape.
Definitely. Yeah.
With a cape and a crystal.
Then there's that.
And
gotta have
sage.
The crystals.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I come bearing my own sage and crystals.
I want to go back, though, to the whole thing about living in your body and your sexuality and dating. Because
yeah.
that's a big thing, especially in your 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
As your body changes.
Yes.
Yep.
As your body doesn't look like it used to,
mm-hmm.
but your sexuality and
it's
your sense of who
yeah.
you are as a person
mm-hmm.
is just on fire.
Yeah.
Like, I've never felt, I don't know if you guys feel this way, I've never felt so secure about who I am as a human being.
Yes.
And I've also never felt like my body is not what I would want it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I also am like, but I am so worth
yeah.
this man's love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if I were in the dating world, not if I were in the dating world, and if somebody wanted to have something to say about my weight, it's like, next.
Right.
Because you don't deserve me then.
Yes.
So good.
Because there's a lot of me to love.
Right. Yes.
And if somebody's basing on looks, looks can fade.
Right.
It's what's inside that really counts the most.
But I think there is a particular coming home to ourselves
mm-hmm.
when you get to this particular age, right? Like,
yeah.
I think our bodies have taken us this far along. Like, I've had two boys with my body. I've had my struggle with candida and my pain struggle and stuff like that. And I'm grateful. I've come to the point where I don't punish my body
yeah.
anymore with strict dieting or strict exercising, or it's really, it's almost kind of like coming home to, this is my home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to treat my home
mm-hmm.
well from
yeah.
this point forward. Because
yes.
this is the vessel that's carried my spirit through
mm-hmm.
all of my journeys and
yeah.
all of my trials and all of my growth. You know,
yeah.
so I think it takes a while to come home to yourself.
It does.
Yeah. And it's a practice.
It's
not
practice.
Something you get right every day.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can
yeah.
get it right most days. And then there are those where I'm like, oh, my belly this, or my arms that. And then just have to remember, like, but they're strong. And look what they've created.
I have actually, there's this one program that I did. And there was just a practice of gratitude. Like,
mm.
I am grateful for my arms
mm.
that it carries, able to carry things. I'm grateful for my strong legs and stuff like that. And it's like really like it stopped, that practice stopped me from criticizing the parts I didn't like,
mm.
but being grateful for what it could do.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's really beautiful.
I like that.
Boys.
I like
yeah,
that you
great.
Said that because I felt like in my 30s,
mm-hmm.
loved my body, but my confidence level wasn't as high. Late 30s, entering 40s, right? It's like now my body's changing, gravity's just pulling everything down.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And my confidence is super high, but I feel like my body doesn't match my confidence.
Yeah.
Right? So I need to get to that stage of coming home with my body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And appreciating my body
mm-hmm.
because I'm very healthy.
Yes.
Right? And it's just me, you know, my mind playing tricks with it. Hey, things just don't look the same anymore physically.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing about it, though, is I always remember, I've gone through a range of sizes and stuff like that. And I remember, like, I was a size 4 at one point or a size 2. And I always remember not being satisfied,
mm-hmm.
despite what it looked outside, right?
Yeah.
And I'm more satisfied now as a size 10/size 12. And it's kind of like, this is it. And you know what? In another 10 years, I'm going to say, oh, look how skinny I was when I was in my, like, you know, because I didn't appreciate it. And
mm-hmm.
it always confused me when people told me I look good because the outside also didn't match the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like I'm so happy that I did the inside work that the outside just kind of like, this is it. It
yeah.
catches on anyway.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a practice. I've probably been doing this for a few years now. And I got it from a girlfriend of mine who told me to start using my hips more
mm-hmm.
and practice moving my hips more. And I dance in the mirror every day before I get in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my body
mm-hmm.
no matter where it's at the day I'm doing that, the moment I'm doing that before I get in the shower. And then I dance in the shower
mm-hmm.
and then I come out and I dance some more. And the whole time, I'm loving myself
mm-hmm.
exactly the way I am because I'm only going to become 52 next. and it has brought me a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm.
the second the movement starts, there's no judgment.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of the sexiest women I know are so, like, our friend Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to her, I love you from the moment I met you. And she's sexy from the top of the hair to the tips of her toes. And it's like we forget. It has nothing to do with the size. It's really the beingness that comes across.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some really super hot bodies that I wouldn't call, like, but they're not at home in their bodies. And I wouldn't call them sexy.
Well, it's only who you are being confident. Like, there's not, as a person who's attracted to the spectrum, I can say, like, I find confidence to be the sexiest thing in a human being. I don't care what your body looks like. It's how you feel in it, how you walk in a room, how high you hold your head, what do you say. It's those things.
Yeah.
And then if you're hot, great, that adds to it.
Right.
But that's not necessary for you to be hot. It's necessary for you to like who you are and be like, this is me.
Right.
This is it.
That's
take it.
It
or leave it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I give no fucks.
That is
no, 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 no. Dating a man who's 10 years younger than me. Woo!
Yes.
I never thought that I would actually even utter those words ever, ever in my life.
Yep.
Ever.
I did it one and a half.
And it's so appropriate that I'm able to, it's congruent that I'm able to do that right now because of the work. And because of just where I am with my soul and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would be completely self-conscious about it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. I'm just attracted. I'm in attraction right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in magnetism and attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing that. With myself first.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha.
Yay.
And then,
doesn't it always start there?
It has to.
That's what I hear.
It has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big lesson for me too. You have to come first.
Yeah.
Those students always use that analogy of, what do they tell you when you fly on an airplane? You put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you do that with everything in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Self-love.
Yep. It is a form of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Making yourself come first.
Right.
There's compromise, but you should always come first, especially at the end of the day.
And be with somebody who supports that.
Yes.
Who wants the best for you, who wants you to have friends and hobbies and a life outside of just that relationship.
Yep.
If you don't have that, then you don't have a healthy relationship.
Right. You don't. You gotta have the independence. That's a big part too.
I'm grateful for my relationship because we have our life together and then we have our own separate lives where we do our separate things with our friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like that keeps us both attracted to each other, interested in each other, and it's such for us, it's just a healthy component of our relationship.
Yeah.
So it's good that we do have that.
I think that's really necessary because then you get to find things out about your partner,
right?
Like if you're together for 4+ years and then you do everything together, you have all your friends in common, you have everything in common, then like what's mysterious at the end of the day when you go to dinner? I'm like, I didn't know that about you. That's kind of sexy. Like you have to have a little bit of your own mysterious life, but then you can continue to reveal over time, and then it keeps things interesting and it keeps you interested in that person.
Mm.
Not to say like keep secrets, but but like have be your own person, be your own human, and let them be their own human.
I think that it's so important that that person is their own human and you are your own human. Like I'm in a really different, fascinating relationship because Ash and I, it's so different. It's like we love each other and we don't possess each other, right? There's this freedom I've never been in a relationship where I love you completely. And if you choose something else, because something else will make you happy, that I would be devastated, but I won't, like, I just don't own him in the same way that he doesn't own me.
Yeah.
There's no, it's a shift. It's no sense of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But inside of that, we let each other be our own human being. There's this complete trust. Like, he works in an entertainment industry. He's a piano player. He gets hit on by attractive younger women. And he says, like, I look at it and it's like, that's good to look at, but I'm not gonna come home to that. And he so looked forward to coming home to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's just this component of trust that it's like I don't even have to question it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like I know it, you know, No, I don't. People ask me all the time. He's so sad. And I know I get to take the rock star home.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, ladies. You know, but it's like, wouldn't it be refreshing to be your own? You are whole and complete, and they are whole and complete in themselves. And that what's available is just complete freedom and trust and knowing that there's just, and it's interesting because it's, there's no ownership, but there's a knowing that we belong to each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I just heard, what I heard in that is you, it is possible to also bring that to dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even, yeah, I really have maybe been talking about that or thinking that, but I never really, it hasn't really landed yet.
Mm-hmm.
It just hadn't landed yet.
Mm. Until now.
It's on the tarmac now.
She's on the runway, ladies and gentlemen.
And it is a real thing. It's not just some phenomenon or some kind of thing out there. It really is real that if we do come whole to each other,
mm-hmm.
we recognize it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not something that's not recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Energetically, we recognize it in each other.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Well, you don't want to feel like you're dating someone who their life starts or their life sparks up because you're in it. You
mm-hmm.
want their life to already be full
mm-hmm.
and to be interesting and to be rich. And then you get
yes.
to come in and add to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is the same
mm-hmm.
rather than like, oh, well, this person's always available to me, which may be really nice and convenient. We're in that new stage of love. And you just like, well, want to be engaged with each other all the time. And you fall into dick sand. But like once you pull yourself out of
vagina sand,
yes,
I've been a victim of that.
Once you pull yourself out of the sand, you want to look around and be like, "Oh, this person is interesting, and they're like they have their own life that I get to then
yeah.
meet all these interesting people and do these interesting things that I didn't know about before."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the person shouldn't be your life, but it should be enhancing.
Yes.
When Ash and I were dating initially, and we came to the point of the truth, right? Like, what are we doing next and stuff like that. And one of his concerns was, I don't think you need me. Like, that was like a big concern. As a man, you don't need me. And I answered him, like, I was in my 40s. And I said, I hope I don't need you. I have, you know, I'm a single woman with two kids I have to support. And I have a business I have to run. I don't need you, but I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need you from, you need to support me financially. And you need to, like, there's no hole to fill here. There's a want, and the want is the authentic partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you could bring to my children as a man, what you could bring to me as a woman. Completely different, right? Like, not coming from a want versus a need,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then fairly recently, he travels for work, and I said, damn you. And he says, what? I've come to need you. I've come to need your presence.
Mm.
I really don't like you leaving me now, even though it's only for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I've grown to need you, and I don't know that I like it. And he's like, well, I like it. You know, but it's like, I think, yeah, what if we could come into a relationship not needing to get fixed or not needing like someone else to meet our needs, because our needs are fully met as capable full women, right?
Mm.
And as capable full men, but really coming into partnership where something else emerges inside of that partnership. That's what I was interested in creating.
That's why we're all dating.
Definitely.
You just created
place.
The future.
There is, and I hope, if anything else, we represent that it is possible, and it is out there,
mm-hmm.
and it is, like, you know, I had to break up with Ash twice to get to where we are.
Mm.
You know, we had to come to what the hell are we doing conversation. You know,
yeah.
and to really. Really lay the foundation of this is what I'm afraid of,
mm-hmm.
and this is, you know, like really like real conversation about it, you know, because sometimes I think we come into relationships. We've been all hurt. We've gone through a broken relationship, and we all come in armored, but wanting an amazing relationship. And armor, unfortunately, ladies, armors have to come off.
I have armor on. I never do, and I wish sometimes I did. But I never do. Heart on one, soul on the other sleeve. And so that's something I've been working with. And what I always come back to is the openness. What I always come back to is that. And so, you know, that's, I don't know that the armoring, it's good to have boundaries and protection.
Yes. Yeah. Which that's is important. Distinct from armoring.
Yeah. That's important. Exactly.
Distinct.
Exactly.
It's distinct,
distinct from it.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is. And I think I finally left my armoring behind in the dating world, because I am willing to date more than one person to find out something.
Yeah.
Right. And to not just, yeah, to not be attached to something that may or may not be going somewhere. But if someone else comes on the path, then explore that too. And I've had a hard time with that, but now that the armor really is off and I'm willing to play. So it's different. So, yeah. And yeah, I think so. I think so.
So how do you guys define the difference between armor and protection? Because I find my armor goes up when my intuition tells me there's a reason.
You should listen to that.
And so where do you define that difference? Because I've also heard a lot of people say, well, don't put on your armor when you're dating. And it's like, but sometimes it's kind of necessary. If you see something in the other person, and you may not even realize it at that moment that you meet them, but there's something that tells you that it's not quite right. And
I think I've noticed mine get engages when I start seeing red flags. I notice that I'll start putting some armor, some walls up. But other than that, I think it's more protection. Hence the crystals.
I think it's more boundaries for me at this point. I don't do the armor thing. If there's a perpetrator and I need to protect myself or really truly armoring is necessary in some way. But I do a lot of work with armoring, and it can do a lot of damage to the self and to the soul. So I think playing more with boundaries. If you're willing and capable, and it's not going to trigger something traumatic, you know, if it's not going to do that, because there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there to discern. You know, who is and who isn't, and who's what and who's not. And it's a lot. So I think it's, if you go towards more armoring, what I've discovered for myself is everything just gets heavier and heavier and heavier and thicker. And then there's no movement for me. And when I have no movement, I don't care who I'm armoring against.
Doesn't work.
I lose.
Right.
I completely lose.
I agree with you. I think it's the difference between armor and boundaries, and not, maybe armor and protection. Because the boundaries allow you to stay vulnerable with somebody. The boundaries allow you to say, I can come to the table, but I need you to bring this as well. Here's what I expect from you. Here's how I expect you to behave. I don't expect you to be perfect, but you got to meet these standards. And if you don't, I'm not going to put up with that. But then that keeps you from being overly protective. The thing I think is interesting where I'm kind of at in my life is learning the difference between fear and intuition. Because they feel really similar to me. Sometimes I'll have a fear about somebody, and I'll think it's an intuition about somebody. And so getting really clear about, like, where in my body do I feel fear? And where in my body do I feel intuition? And when I can discern the difference, I don't need you to show me that my intuition is right. Go with it. And like, run if you have to run.
Trust your instincts.
Yeah.
And be in dialogue with your community. really keep checking in with the people
mm-hmm.
who know you best,
mm-hmm.
right? I check in with you, Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking in with you now. You're home.
I check in with Jeannie all the time. I'm checking in with Tanya by virtue of this podcast. I check in with Dina all the time.
It's really supportive to be in dialogue with.
It takes a village, man.
Women and men. We're going to bring men soon, but
yeah.
women and men.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so true because sometimes what we think is intuition is really our own crazy mechanism. It's just like all
yeah.
of our hackles up and just like, I think it's valuable to like bring each other down from the tree and then like, okay, I'm going to smooth you out. And be in dialogue about it, right? Because sometimes we would go to crazy town
yep.
in an instant.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, I've already decided I'm going to murder you tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
so, no.
Oh, my
no.
God.
Don't do that.
Oh, my
no,
God.
Right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You have done that for me multiple times. You've said, okay, calm down.
And I
just laugh.
I just
like,
bring
out
to the part where
Jeannie
says me something.
Don't
and
finish
I,
everything
and
with
I
one
would
cut.
Just, yeah. And I would just look at her and I would just nod. And I would give her her space and allow her to be heard. But then I would bring it back to the basics. What did he say? Or what did he didn't say? What are you making that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's kind of like what happens is we have been hurt and it's just like, we're now like, not going to allow that to happen.
Right.
And sometimes it's our own expectations and crazy making.
Crazy
yes. making, right?
Yeah.
Crazy town is close
by. That happens,
right?
Right
there.
We jump
right
into crazy town.
It's like an Uber away. Like
it really.
And someone has to come get you from crazy town and walk you back to the light.
Well, but you have to make sure that you have friends that like don't encourage your crazy town. Like surround yourself with people who are like, don't go to crazy town.
Yeah.
Stay here in like adult land.
Don't touch anyone. Yeah.
Do not break up with anybody right now.
Yeah.
No.
So
no,
seek, find those people who will tell you hard truths about yourself. Because if they just tell you like, oh, he's terrible or whatever you want to hear, that's not going to serve you. That's just going to keep you in crazy town.
I just laugh at Jeannie.
That's so good. That's so good. Then you can laugh at me in a second.
No,
that's really good because it's we can talk about figuring them out all day long, but really we've got to figure ourselves out.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I keep getting, that's the big thing that keeps showing up is it's not my job to figure them out.
No,
anymore.
No.
I can't do that over there. I can only do this right
yes.
here.
Only
this is it right here.
So Jeannie would just Marco Polo me and just like, oh, and I just
don't mention any names.
No,
please.
No.
Okay.
And I would just Marco Polo her and I would just be like, girl, you crack me up. And I would just literally laugh. And he's like, do you even hear what you're saying right now? Right? And
so
then,
makes a difference.
And then she called, and then the next Marco Polo is just, there she is. She's restored. And she's like, because what I say
too.
To her is, you have to get this person adores you. And I know that because I adore you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you.
Yeah.
And your light and magic. And if he doesn't want to spend time with you, that's on him. Because I want to spend
you
time
hear
with
that?
You.
Over everybody,
yeah.
Men out there.
I want to spend time with you because
right.
you're magic and
yeah.
joy
right.
and light.
Yeah.
And what a privilege and honor to even be around you.
Right.
So mm-hmm. y'all should call her when you're actually like Marco Polo G. And you're in doubt about who you are in the dating
you just became
world.
Real,
right?
There you go. You can Marco Polo me because I want the full facial expression.
Okay.
I actually delight in all of that. Right?
So you asked the question, did
yeah,
you A, get an answer, and B, how does it show up for you?
No, I get confused about
yes.
whether it's fear, intuition. I don't know that I have an answer. I don't know if there is one because it might be different for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but I think getting clear about what the difference is
yeah.
between an intuitive hit
yep.
and fear or crazy making
mm-hmm.
or, you know, armoring up
mm-hmm.
that to me is what I was curious about
yeah.
is, you know, well, how do you know? Are you armoring up or are you, you know, what is it?
Right.
So
I would say for me, I know that crazy and fear is in my head. And I'm aware of my triggers, right?
Yeah.
So
right,
I know that when
good.
I'm fearful, I go to crazy town because I'm rapidly thinking about everything. And intuition for me comes from my gut. And so I've learned to pay attention, just like Dina said, to those red flags.
Yep. Yeah.
And when it even is a flashing yellow, I pay attention to it because it's flashing because either it's going to go red or either we're going to go to green. What are we doing?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I pay very close attention to my own triggers and what are the things that's causing me to go off because I don't want to go in crazy
that's
town.
Essential.
But now that I have a coach.
You don't know what you signed up for, Dan.
That is really good.
Did you ever aspire to be a crazy coach?
Again, going back to the distinction of I have to know myself. I have to know my own triggers.
Yeah.
I have to know when is it in my head.
Yeah.
If I would say is if it's in your head, it's you're already like something is already getting cut off or no more.
Mm-hmm.
And when is it in your gut? I feel like gut intuition is quieter.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I for me anyway, it's just like this knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I just know,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for me, sometimes I see pictures or I see images, but whereas like a brain thing tends to be kind of more like linear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't do X, Y, Z, therefore I'm not going to do like this anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
I set up these hoops for him to jump through
when
he didn't jump
to,
correctly.
Right? But
mm-hmm.
I think it again goes back to knowing what triggers you
mm-hmm.
and knowing, you know, it's your own knowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This has been fantastic.
Good.
Like, really
I think it's so
great.
Essential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just right on time, too. So.
Yeah, totally. So thank you guys. That was lovely for our episode 3. I think it was poetic and wonderful. And can't wait to meet again and do this again. So you've been listening to Rocky Mountain Media's Dating. And then there's that. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.